Don't you wish, Joe, you could be as laid back as Kyle Turris is sometimes? Just awesome.
I love it. I can't even. It's like there's a little bit of Bill and Ted in there.
Yeah.
A little bit of Bill and Ted. By the way, did you know that's my favorite Prince song?
Yeah, I did. That's why I played it.
Okay.
But did you also
know
that?
You're the best, man. You're the best.
Did you also know that they're making a remake of Bill and Ted and it looks completely awful?
Well I'm sure it is.
Oh, it's just a sequel, right? Like they're
in
their 40s.
It's the third installment. Yeah. It looks awful. I'm just going to say that.
Well, I'm kind of excited about it. I'm also excited that Beavis and Butthead is coming back with them as parents, too. So.
Oh, Ren and Stimpy's coming back.
Wow.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy is coming back.
No
more original ideas in Hollywood. Yeah. They just recycle the old stuff.
All the fodder for early 90s stoners back.
Hi, what if?
Beautiful world.
Bart Simpson was an adult now. He's Homer. Let's just do it.
Let's just go ahead.
He's
Why
Homer
not?
Now.
Boy, all the gifts that Adam Vingan could put on the webs.
That's right.
The Bartman gif, that's going to be the first one.
That's right. Let's bring in our good friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, one of the best in the business. Teresa, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys for your patience, considering, as I was telling Marquise, that if the number is not listed in my phone with an identity, the habit these day and age is just to ignore it, let it go to voicemail, and if they really want me, they'll call me back. And it's like, oops, I forgot I was talking to you guys for a moment this morning, and so apologies for being a few minutes late.
Okay, because Munson told us this was a busy signal. So I was like, "Oh, Teresa, rocking
the." Yeah, I was impressed. I really was.
So he did call you on your cell, though.
Yes, he called me on the right number, but it was like for in that period, I got like three different spam calls. Okay,
I know.
Getting calls from Cumberland Furnace or Adams, Tennessee, and what I love in this week, I've been getting calls marked political spam.
Oh, nice!
You know, they know today is election day, so they've been hitting my phone like crazy.
Yeah, it's awful. I take the same approach. If there's a number on my screen on my phone that I don't know, there's a 0% chance I'm answering that bad boy.
Text
first. Burned me a few times, too.
I just text people first. Yeah. Like if I'm trying to do an interview with someone, I never call anybody now. Yeah, because I do the same thing.
Absolutely. Well, Teresa.
I'm putting the phone number in. This won't happen again.
Perfect. That's all good. All good. Teresa, we've been talking about the Preds, obviously, all morning, and the Duchesne offsides play. Largely dominating game three, but falling 4-1 in the game. What's your reaction to the Preds losing game three and being down 2-1 in the series?
They played the game they needed to play, but the one thing that and maybe it's just me, but after the game, you know, Yossi and Victor Arvidsson and John Hines were all asked a variety of ways about, you know, when things happen, how they respond to them. And they all kind of act like they're ducks, that it's just water off the back. But, you know, we saw in game one, they did not react well. Coyotes again scored the first goal yesterday. The team that has scored the first goal in the first three games has won each game. And after, you know, now Turris did hit the post after the goal was overruled for the offside. But, you know, and yes, we know that there could be offsides a lot of times in games, but these things just seem to keep costing the Predators in moments when it just can't. And the thing that really bothered me was the way they played the go-ahead goal, the winning goal for the Coyotes. You know, they followed, stepping over to the side and completely missed the guy streaking toward the slot and, you know, ended up with a beautiful goal. At times, guys, they remind me of my four-year-old playing soccer way back in the day. You know, they chase the puck a little bit too much and don't seem to play the whole ice. And, you know, that, and every time it does, it bites them. And yes, I retweeted Chris's post about how I asked John Hines yesterday, you know, about game five, what they're going to do. And he goes, well, we're 60 minutes away from, you know, being in game four, being 60 minutes away from game five. Sorry, my tongue is not quite awake, apparently. Mm-hmm. But we need to see this. You know, different coach, but we're still seeing this team make some of the same mistakes that cost them before they made a coaching change in January. And at this point, I'm not so sure that they can straighten up and fix these things and win two games against a good defensive team in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, that answer from John Hines to me, just a little bit of, because it was just a quick response to your question. Basically, the question was, and we played it earlier, but, you know, You're 60 minutes from elimination. You know, what do you tell your team? And he countered, "Yeah, we're 60 minutes from getting to game five." But it was a little bit of, you know, coach frustrated, which is totally understandable, but after a loss like that, I feel like John Hines, we saw it somewhat early in his tenure with personnel changes and some of the stuff he said after that. And now, maybe at this point, even though I think this team is in a lot of ways playing much better, you're also seeing that frustration with why are these critical mistakes happening at these moments from this group? It's easy to not be playing this game and point out all the mistakes. I get that. But also, you do hope that you have guys who have been there and who will be less likely than a team like Arizona to make those mistakes, right?
Exactly. And, you know, yes, Darcy Kuemper played a great game yesterday. The way they were peppering him with shots in that first period, you know, it easily could have been 1-2-0 at that point, but it wasn't. And that's the thing, that the one time that Arizona gets a shot finally in that opening onslaught by the Preds, it goes in the net. So that's the kind of luck that they've been having. And it's not just puck luck at a certain point. At a certain point, all these guys who've gotten really good checks from David Poile and the Predators need to step up, be accountable, and play the, you know, and finish some of these games. It's that simple. And, you know, the sad part, they're also 60 minutes away from having to face these questions for whatever this next offseason actually is.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press on the line with us. And, Teresa, I want to switch gears to the Titans real quick. What have you made of this Vic Beasley situation going on with the opt-out deadline today and everything that's happened over the course of the past week or so with the Titans and Vic Beasley? How strange has this been to you?
Oh, very, very strange, Robbie. I mean, Joe, I don't know about you, but I'm getting, you know, hints of Kevin Dodd. You know, it's like,
yeah.
We've heard rumors that there was a funeral involved. Last week, John Robinson issued a statement and said that his absence was unexcused. You know, and he is subject to, doesn't, you know, the CBA doesn't say that he's absolutely being fined $50,000 a day, but he is subject to that. And he was their big free agent guy that they got, $9.5 million contract. $3.5 million of that is his base salary. So that means a $6 million bonus. And, you know, they've been here for over a week, and we still haven't seen him. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, Mike Vrabel made it very clear yesterday. He's excited to see him. You know, he gave the right coach answer. He wants to coach him. He wants to see him. Can't wait to get him in here. But with what John Robinson said last week, it's like raise more questions than answers, and time just keeps ticking. If he's planning to opt out, you know, just tell the Titans, hey, I'm going to opt out. He doesn't have to wait till the deadline today. You know, the deadline we thought was going to be a few days ago. It just took the NFL and the PA some extra time to, you know, dot the T's, cross the I's, all that stuff. I know I just mixed that up, but, you know, to sign that document, setting today as the final deadline, he could have said a week ago, you know what, the way things are in my life, I'm going to opt out. There are two options for players to opt out in the NFL, and he could have taken either one of them, and yet it's like, no. So, you know, there's been some talk coming from Atlanta, but at this point you have to wonder, how much does this guy want to play football? Does he have something else going on? You hope it's not serious. You hope and pray that it's not health-related. But, yeah, every day that goes on, the questions just get louder and louder, and the Titans are going to need an answer soon. They're on the field. You know, their plan for their first practice as a team is a week from Friday, and today's Thursday. So we're 8 days away from that, and he has to go through protocol testing over a five-day period to even get in the building at this point. So time's a ticking.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard from some people in Atlanta who actually thought that he might retire after last season. I mean, the idea of Vic Beasley not loving football is not new to this situation. So, and I mean, you asked the question, you had the first question yesterday of Vrabel after he sort of addressed it, but you asked him directly, have you actually talked to him since John Robinson put out the statement? Because he was sort of vague about it in his initial statement, and he said no. I mean, and that's my problem too, is just the lack of communication. I guess I'm leaning much more toward, we're going to find out today Vic Beasley's not going to be part of this football team in 2020 than the other way around. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just how I'm reading it.
Joe, I wouldn't be surprised at all for that. And, you know, Harold Landry, you know, he spoke to us on Monday and he hadn't met him. Now, granted, you know, they started their off-season program in pandemic mode, so everything was Zooms. But guys can get numbers. You know, they can call and they can talk. And, you know, we've seen the offensive line, who obviously is a really tight group anyway, you know, include their newcomer, Isaiah Wilson, into the pack. And, you know, they found ways to communicate over the stretch. But it makes you wonder how involved Vic Beasley was in these Zoom meetings in the offseason program. At this point, I'm leaning more to the fact that he's not going to be a Titan this year. And the sad part of it is, you know, then why sign the contract back in March? If you're thinking those thoughts, guys, you've got one foot out the door already. And, you know, at that point, you should not be signing contracts. You should be taking time to decide what you want to do before you make your next decision. So this might give the Titans some much-needed help, because you do get salary cap space. Just look at the New England Patriots with all their opt-outs. But, you know, maybe that helps them go get some guy named Jadeveon Clowney. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, they thought they were going to have Vic Beasley. They thought they could turn around a guy who led the NFL in sacks in 2016. And at this point, yes, it just doesn't feel like he's going
to
be here.
Teresa, to switch gears again, since you're, you know, a Jill of all trades and you do everything, let's talk about the Grizzlies for a second, because going into this bubble, we thought the Grizzlies were going to get the 8 seed. They're 3.5 games above everybody else. And then now all of a sudden you lose 4 straight, probably their 4 easiest games on their schedule. And now the Blazers are 1 game back from that 9 for that 8 seed. So now you think the Grizzlies are on the cusp of, you know, getting into that play-in tournament, or even not even making the playoffs at all?
Oh, Marquise, I think that they're going to end up eventually not making the playoffs. Now, I don't know if they managed to slide into that play-in game, but, you know, the advantage that they had going to Orlando was they were healthy. You know, they had just Jaren Jackson Jr. was back, Brandon Clark, Grayson Allen, guys who, you know, Mike Krzyzewski in January saying this is going to be a season-ending kind of thing. He was back. He's been playing. And Justice Winslow, a guy who was about to dress up when the NBA said, nope, we're not playing. He, you know, he was injured when they traded for him in February, was about to appear, and then he gets hurt in a team scrimmage, not even a scrimmage against another team, in a team scrimmage early in the bubble appearance. So he's out. Jaren Jackson Jr. tears a meniscus on Monday against the Pelicans. He's now out for the rest of whatever this is. So the depth that they had has taken a serious beating, and they need Jaren Jackson Jr. Guy had 33 points against the Trailblazers last Friday. He was really starting to find his game, shooting the three, you know, looking really good. John Morant can't carry it all, and he's looking a little tired through this schedule here. And at this point, you know, even Taylor Jenkins seemed a little frustrated. They were dominating the Jazz in the first half yesterday, and then the Jazz come through with the run, get the lead, and it just fizzled from there. So, yeah, 0-4. At this point, I'm hoping that they win a game before they get knocked out.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Teresa, thanks as always. Great stuff, and we appreciate you joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. And I'm putting the number right now in my phone.
There you go. Very nice. Teresa Walker, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best in the business. When we come back, Joe and I will dive a little bit more into the Vic Beasley situation, which is becoming stranger and stranger by the day for the Tennessee Titans. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.